Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, so we have some new, not rules changes, but new drills that have been added to the combine. Some have been taken away, and I'm very curious as to how you guys feel about this. I know y'all love the combine like everybody else does.
No, but I don't care about it.
But then, you know what?
I like everybody that loves it and summarizes it for us.
Yes. If they're like, hey, when people are like, hey, were you watching that one? Right. And I was like, nope.
Like Dane Brugler writing an article in The Athletic, what happened at the combine, Jeff Kavanaugh doing a video, Brian Broaddus summarizing what happened at the combine.
Yeah.
I love that because then I can take what they did. They put in the hours of watching a whole bunch of things that I don't want to watch and then summarizing it in a 10-minute read or a 5-minute video. And I'm like, that was perfect. Now I can do
100%.
This.
Co-sign all of that.
It's very much like the guy with the bigger wrecking ball. If he could just use the bigger wrecking ball, that building would be down already.
I think they quit.
I'll tell you, they should have. I told you we need to get Miley on this. It's like my version of when I text you if you're watching that Providence Seton Hall game in January. You're like, what are you talking about? That's how I feel when people are like, oh, did you watch the show?
Oh, no, we're doing that one now?
By the way,
pretty good movie.
Shippy.
New video.
New video going to be up on 105.3 The Fan. We absolutely broke out into this song.
No way.
100% guarantee it.
They did.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't join?
Corey hates fun, so he's the Sharif of our show.
Hey, did you know Elton John's gay?
Breaking news brought to you by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by 5-Hour Energy Shots, now in two great tropical flavors.
If you didn't know that, you'll know it in the movie.
All right. I don't know where to start.
Back to the combine.
What are you talking about?
That being said, what do y'all take from those write-ups then? What do you take from what Broaddus puts in? What do you take from those write-ups whenever, Jesus Christ. what are you looking for out of the numbers that come from the combine? Because Broaddus has told us, he's been very adamant about it. The only thing that matters to him coming from the combine is the medical information.
I hear the interviews too, but yes, the medical, most important.
Okay,
sure.
So, but what do you guys, is it, oh, okay, that guy runs a 4.3, or oh, okay, his shuttle drill's really good, or oh man, he's really strong.
Honestly, I'm inclined to tilt more towards the interviews, because like, I understand the measurable numbers and everything like that, I really do, but also like, I'm a film versus shorts and t-shirt guy, you know, like I saw you play, I saw how fast you are in actual game speed. So I think I'm more inclined to go with the interviews, and we've talked with Frank a lot in the past about this, is he's like, no, absolutely, you put the heat on them and see how they do with it. Mm-hmm. And that's what I would want, is I would want to put the heat on them and see how they deal with these tough situations and go from there.
I'm with you. I'm always confused when numbers come out on players that didn't produce in college, but they have unbelievable combines.
Yeah.
Because then my main question is, if you had all of these things, O.J. Howard comes to mind. O.J. Howard, I believe, had a solid combine numbers, and he'd never produced at Alabama, and he still was drafted very high because all these combine numbers, all of these things say that, hey, he should have been really good in college. He wasn't. He helped win a national championship, but why would all of those numbers, if you're that athletic and that good, why did Nick Saban say, let's not get the ball to that guy? Mm. And now we're finding out in the professional level, all of those traits don't really add up to a productive player. Sometimes you can have all of these traits and not be a productive player. So that's the tough thing about the combine, is I'm always confused on when somebody was great and then they end up not having that good of a combine. I'll take two examples of linebackers from the state of Texas, and I know they're both retired a long time ago. Zach Thomas and Dat Nguyen. when you watch college football and you watch Texas Tech play, Thomas was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the best linebackers you could watch play college football.
And Datwin was too.
And so was Datwin. When it came to the combine and their height and their weight and their speed, they're like, you know, not that great. Well, let's not take them because they don't have all the traits we need in a combine. And yet they both had – Zach Thomas had a great NFL career and Datwin had a good NFL career.
Yep.
But I think that's the tough thing when it comes to we're just going to not acknowledge anything that those players did in all of the 3 years of starting on their football team. And we're just going to take their height, weight, and their combine skills and go, well, they're probably not going to be that good at football in the NFL. And then the opposite can happen, like an O.J. Howard. I know that that might not be the best example, but it's like, no, he's going to really produce in the NFL, even though he never really produced except for a few games
world.
In his whole college career.
That's not O.J. Howard.
He produced.
It's like right now, Joe Burrow's 9-inch hands are take away from everything that he just did this season.
He can't play football anymore.
Yeah, everything that he just did this season, because he has a 9-inch hand, you can't believe anything that you saw him do. Was it Mahomes had a 30-inch vertical during his combine a few years ago? Is that good?
I mean,
or is that bad?
That seems good, but at the same time, I don't care. What situation comes up where I want my quarterback jumping 2.5 feet in the air?
When you're hurdling a guy for the game-winning touchdown
in the
Super Bowl?
And that is not a situation that I want my quarterback to be in, running towards the goal line and hurdling over people. That is not.
It's for the really nice piece of metal.
Yeah, it is a big piece of metal.
Looks
and
like
also,
a football kind
of. Terrell Suggs did 18 reps of 225 pounds in 2003.
Okay,
is he a strong player?
I will say, I mean, because you want to say yes, or but if not, he's like particularly effective on the field. Like those, I do kind of see the merit of because you have to have like that grown man strength if you're going to be working in the trenches. But
you're not a grown man yet. But that's what I'm saying is a lot of the numbers that people are like, oh, this is we got to see him do this, doesn't signify what their career is going to be. And a lot of it has to do with where you land, what team you end up on, and the kind of coaching you get down the road and whatever you have burning inside that's going to make you work out on your own to go be better. But I'm always looking for, and Broadus and I've been talking about this for a while, certain players' positions and how they do in short speeds, how they do in short distances, especially at linebacker. Because I want to know if somebody's getting run past, can they explode and make that tackle?
Brian Broadus, I know you're in there getting ready for Fat Tuesday with your red beans and rice. But if you're listening, I'd love to ask you a few questions about this because
he said
this
he's busy. He says I'm busy right now,
and I'm not part of KNC.
Yeah, he's like, come on,
I'm G-Bag National. I'm afternoon drive.
Here I am
suckas.
Trying to get work done, and you guys keep calling me in here to talk with you guys. I'm going to be here like 15 minutes anyway.
I have a question for you, Brian. When it comes to quarterback, I totally understand if you're not with the right scheme fit, if you're not with maybe the right people that match your talents, that you can have a bad career, even though maybe you weren't a bad quarterback. You just got drafted by the wrong team and nobody wants to give you another chance. What is the next position that you would say, boy, if you are at this position and you are a wrong scheme fit, you might end up having a bad career, even though you weren't going to be a bad player if certain teams would have drafted you?
Secondary.
Okay.
Yeah, there's people that will sometimes, and it's going to happen, you know, more times than not, you could get with an organization that makes, you'll see guys get drafted by a certain organization, and then there'll be a coaching change, and then they'll look like a totally different player out there. Because maybe the position coach, the secondary coach, corner coach, safety coach came in and said, hey, technique adjustment here. You know, I'll give you a little preview of, and I'm going to do this at 2:40 today, talking about Byron Jones. You know, do you get to a certain situation where with Byron Jones that really Chris Richard saved his career, you know? And that's where I feel like, though, that, you know, was Byron Jones one of those guys that the front office was really excited about? Man, they liked Byron Jones. They liked his consistency. But Chris Richard came in and said, hey, make this guy a corner, you know? And so now, you know, the front office is still kind of in that mode, not kind of, they're in the mode where, and I think a lot of it has to do with the cap situation of that, hey, we've got to move on. We can't sign Byron Jones, but somebody will get Byron Jones. They'll get a guy that plays with technique. He doesn't create a lot of turnovers or things like that. But if you look at the numbers, the way he covers, the number of targets and things like that, Chris Richard really saved his career, and I think that's where you kind of look at a position and say that makes a difference.
His athleticism was the thing that kind of rocketed him up, though,
he was
right?
more known for the broad jump, you know. I mean,
I do remember that.
Almost a 12-foot broad jump, you know. And so, yeah, you watch him play. He's a model of consistency, you know, that he's if you look at through all the games, he's played over 80 NFL games throughout his career, played at safety, played at corner. And, you know, it's a shame that this organization is going to move on from him, because I think he'll go somewhere else and he'll pick up some of the things that Chris Richard coached him on here, and somebody will elevate his game to even better levels.
Why do you think so many people or so many teams or player personnel people at times get enamored with the combine at the expense of what they've seen on the tape for so many years?
Well, it is about the numbers and the old scouts. That was our way of analytics.
You know,
that we were able to measure. We were able to measure in 1993 what happened in 2003. You know, currently, you say, oh, well, as comparisons, that's where the scout will say, well, in that year, this guy ran this. This running back at this height and weight ran this time. He had success or he lacked success. And you know, that's the one thing that I always learned about working with Jerry Jones is you had to be able to compare players that he's seen before. That helps him.
Yeah.
You know, he could watch the tape and see the guys, but if you tell him this player reminds me of this guy, you know, for example, the Iowa tackle, Wirfs, he reminds me of Walter Jones, who played at Seattle for all those years. So you talk about a knee bender, an athlete. You know, if I were in a room with Jerry, that's how I would describe. I would say that's Walter Jones to Mr. Jones. That's him. And in that way, he would be able to kind of in his brain have an idea. But to answer your question,
because Jason Garrett did that same thing about Dak, saying how Troy Aikman would do stuff like this.
Yeah, you've got to be able to paint a picture of a player, or you could say, hey, this guy reminds me of. And I think that's where scouts use the numbers, and a lot of us do get enamored with the numbers.
Yeah. All right. That was an excellent answer. Thank you.
Thanks, Broadus.
No problem.
Really appreciate it. Now you can get back to your show and the work that they're doing in there.
He's Fat Tuesday. He made red beans and rice for the office.
Smells so good, too. I don't want something so bad right now. That being said, Kevin, there are lots of changes with the new drills that are going to be coming up. However, we have run out of time.
Hustle, you got time.
Okay, I was going to use it tomorrow, but quarterbacks, the new thing they're going to do, end zone fade routes added to routes thrown, timed smoke / now route drill. So they're going to have end zone fade routes, and they're going to work on those. The timed smoke / now route drill, quarterbacks are going to throw one pass to a receiver running a smoke now route, usually a route that's adjusted to at the line based on pre-snap reads, indicating a quick completion will be available against soft coverage on each side consecutively.
Why do you not want to watch people to watch this on TV then?
Oh, because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. Again, like I said, a 30-inch vertical for Pat Mahomes doesn't mean he can't win a Super Bowl, all right? Because it's not a good vertical. The Deuce Staley drill for running backs is going to be there.
You do it twice?
Inside routes. No, it's just you just go number two. And then they've eliminated
that's
the pitch.
Be a weird drill.
They've eliminated
Paul
the
Pierce
pitch
was horrible
and,
at that one.
And cone drill. They do the find the ball drill. So I guess they don't want running backs to find the ball anymore. And now with the receivers, they have the end zone fade route. They're getting rid of the toe tap drill, which is how good a guy is on the sideline. So I guess what they're doing is their new rules changes. You only have to get 1 foot in bounds to be a completion.
Whoa.
With the new CBA.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Deontay Wilder has us wondering, what's the dumbest or most unique excuse you've ever used for losing? 877-881-1053. We'll do it next on The Fan.
Back here on the KNC masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, there was a brief moment. We haven't done an update today of the Leaning Tower of Dallas.
It's happening, guys.
And out of nowhere, Shippy yelled, oh my God, there's a whole bunch of dust over by the thing. And Bassick was telling a different story, so whenever he said that, I had no clue.
Oh, my God, it was amazing.
What was going on? But update on the building right now is that it is still standing, but they have made some headway on this. There is some damage being done to the building. It's just not falling. It's still there, and they are swinging that tiny little salt shaker as hard as they can at the building.
Corey, you're my new leader of the show. Do you want me to... explain the conversation that we are having off the air?
No.
Oh man, that's a mistake.
I appreciate it, Mike. It was great off air stuff. Maybe we can Facebook.
I've
live
actually
it.
Brought it on the air.
Maybe we can Facebook live.
I was
it.
There.
Oh, out in Arizona. we get a couple drinks in you, a couple lemonades, but. Not right now. We will all not right. do that right now.
All right.
All right. That being said, though, Kevin.
Dolos are mad.
Real quickly, me, Dave Gettleman has said the Giants are open for business at number four.
It's really weird that this just popped up on ESPN today. We said that like 2 weeks ago. We're like, hey, the Giants are going to trade that pick, or they would be interested in trading that pick. So I'm glad that the people at the Combine are with us now.
Yeah, I think it's because Joe Judge and all those guys are talking today. Man. You know, Andy Reid's been talking, saying that Mike McCarthy is a championship caliber coach.
Yeah.
And that he expects that he's going to get back to that form, if not a better version. But lots of coaches talking at that's why. And that's what I want to kind of that's what the Combine is now. The Combine is another PR thing for the NFL.
Oh, sure.
It's a way to continue the cyclical force of what the NFL is, and people get that little nugget just enough to keep them to keep that vein open until the draft comes around and then until training camp starts. So that's exactly what the Combine is turning into right now.
So the Giants probably need for the draft to play out this way, because I don't think they're going to be able to trade the fourth pick before the draft. It'll have to be on draft night as that pick is coming up, right?
Because people are looking at the two marquee quarterbacks and Chase.
Yeah, at four, you don't want to trade up to four a month before the draft happens. You're not 100% sure who the top three picks are going to be. And I'm assuming usually you're trading up, usually for a quarterback. So what the Giants' hope is that Detroit doesn't trade their pick, really sticks with Matthew Stafford, and is saying we're not going down the route of at number three taking a quarterback. So one quarterback, two Chase Young, three, maybe it's the kid from Okuda from South Grand Prairie. Maybe let's just say that. And then they're sitting there at four going, yes! Whoever wants the next quarterback, you guys come up and get it, because especially, it made it all the way to four. Because
you have your choice, too. You know, do you want to go Herbert? Do you want to go Tua? And then they're going to be pretty stoked. I would be willing to bet that.
Also wanted to point out, Kevin, they are currently spraying the bottom of the building with water. Huge bouts of water that looks like it's coming from a big fire hose. So they're spraying it down around the base of it.
Is there a fire in the building?
I don't. Maybe what they're doing is trying to remove some debris without having to get too close to the building, and so maybe that helps some debris get some runoff.
I was hoping maybe at some point they couldn't knock it down at all, which they're making very small progress. There's more dust today. Is that they would then just go stick gasoline all on it and then have a helicopter dump gasoline from the top and light it on fire and see like what would happen. Just really lighting it on fire to see what would happen in the end.
This isn't a see what would happen kind of situation, Mike. You got to kind of have some better
plan. Give it the rest of this week. They got Tuesday through Saturday to get their job done. Sunday, you can have the day off. And then Monday, if it still looks like that, let's light it on fire and see what happens.
What's the biggest, the worst excuse you've ever had for losing? 877-881-1053.
So this all comes about from, that's fair. Oh. This all comes about from Deontay Wilder, who, by the way, said he will exercise his rematch clause for Tyson Fury. Hopefully they'll fight. He wants them to fight a third time in the summer. But he said that his giant lit up robot costume that he said was to honor Black History Month, caused his legs to go because it weighed 45 pounds. And he said, look, that outfit, it was just too heavy. My legs were shot already. I knew there was something off about me, and it's because of that outfit. So obviously, that's ridiculous. So we're curious, what is the most absurd excuse you've either made or heard for a loss?
Well, I remember Pacquiao had a lot of excuses after just getting worn out by Floyd Mayweather. Yeah. I mean, he couldn't punch him. It ended up being the most built-up fight in a long, long time, and then being one of the most boring, overmatched fights that I can ever remember watching. It was fun. We got to go out to Vegas to cover it, but watching the 12 rounds, it was, as to me, as boring as it could be, because Pacquiao wasn't fighting back. He was just taking little punches to his body and face and then just going, yeah, it doesn't really hurt that bad, but I don't really feel like punching back at all. And I can't remember if he said his hand was messed up or something, but I was like, man, you are, there's a lot of excuses for you just not fighting back at all.
What about that time that they said we didn't tell him whether or not he could make a play on a punt return?
Yeah, that ended up being a big conundrum for the Cowboys.
I had a situation, Kevin. I recently heard a player say, "Hey, a guy say, "Hey, my teammate was bad at beer pong, and that's the reason that I lost."
Oh.
And also, I played RJ Choppy in some foosball once, Kevin, in Oxnard. Our table was broken. The worst table.
Actually, I do remember that.
Felt bad.
From the 817, sunlight with blue eyes from Josh Hamilton. Ooh.
That was weird. Oof. Mike, you have blue eyes, right?
Yes.
Could you hit with blue eyes?
Yes.
Okay.
Not nearly as good as Josh Hamilton, but boy, if Josh Hamilton didn't want to play, he did not want to play.
Yeah, and there's some times you could hit just as good, if not better.
Here's what I didn't understand about that is the team backed him up. The team tried to help push that excuse as a real thing. That's so weird to me.
That was their star.
He was so talented, they just were willing to put up with a lot. And so it was just, if he wants to play and is willing to play, he's probably the best player in the game. It's just how many times is he going to want to give that focus and energy level to the team? And when he did, he was one of the best players we ever saw. It was just for a short amount of time. And then there were just times where he frustrated his teammates by, in big moments, maybe just not being as focused as you needed him to be, or just into the game as you wanted him to be.
From the 682, when I lose, I usually just blame it on lag. Now, Kevin, I don't know if you know what that means, but that's a video gamer right there.
Oh,
and their internet.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Usually what happens is if you die, you say, "Oh man, they were a bot," and then you blame it on, "Oh, but it's really laggy today." And that way you didn't do anything because they were a sweat and you weren't really trying that hard.
I'm trying to get confirmation on this from the 682. Roberto Duran blamed diarrhea on his loss to Sugar Ray Leonard.
What?
So there's that.
I think that's a legitimate excuse as long as you sing it, because that's my favorite thing going on right
that
now.
That commercial is amazing. From the 682, worst excuse ever for me. In Little League, I was having a bad day pitching, and my catcher called me out. I said, "If you just return the ball better, I'll pitch better."
Oh, God.
That is a really weird. Oh, yeah. I mean, isn't it Altuve, right? Altuve is like, "No, I couldn't take my jersey off because
my wife will get mad."
Yeah, but they did still win.
Yeah.
So.
And he took his shirt off to show off his new tattoo.
Yeah, which is super strange.
What about Deontay Wilder's other excuse that he didn't know there was a human being inside that dumb burrito costume that he punched?
if you haven't seen that
my favorite video ever,
where he just ruthlessly punches a mascot and he broke the dude's jaw.
And nose.
The little eye flies off of it. Because I don't know if he didn't know there were people in there, which is what he claims.
That's what he said.
But he just rears back and bam!
LeBron needing a rest when the Lakers sucked a couple of years ago.
Oh, that happens all the time.
Was that the Lakers or the Cavaliers?
I mean, it happened last year, too, when they were like, no. And look, that's what the Golden State Warriors are doing right now with Klay Thompson, right? They're like, oh, yeah, no, he's hurt, so he can't come back and play. Not because they don't want to lose the number one pick in the draft.
The 214. How about Jason's excuse after every game? We got to get better day by day. We got to be better in all three phases.
Man, yeah. I'm just so happy. Whatever happens this season, at least we are done with Jason Garrett. We can go 0-16. I'm not going to be happy about that. I actually probably would be, because then we get Trevor Lawrence. That would be amazing. But at least we don't have to listen to Jason Garrett act like we're all morons for a whole year and repeat himself for 10 straight years. And you had, to me, it got so frustrating. And I know that luckily we'll have the Mike McCarthy press conferences during the season, but working midday for as long as Jason Garrett was the head coach, you didn't even have to listen to it. You just knew what Tuesday, what he was going to say, what he was going to say on Wednesday, what he was going to say on Thursday and Friday. It was the exact same thing every day for a 10-year period, and he was, because Jerry Jones was so in love with him, he allowed him to get away with that. If it was any other owner in the NFL, they would have said, "You can't do that. You can't do this crap. We're trying to promote our team, but because Jerry's like, it's fine, I'll be able to promote it just fine. In fact, I kind of like that our coach has zero personality.
From the 469, when that one guy said he didn't know where the wall was in game six.
Oh, my God.
You know what? I'm done.
See you later, Mike. For the 817, Roger Staubach said he threw the ball too hard in that Super Bowl loss. Was he covering up for Jackie Smith for not catching in the end zone?
He did say he could have made it a better pass, and I think he did say some other things. Like
hit him in the chest, Mike. Yeah. He hit him in the chest hands.
I know. And yeah, that being said, I didn't watch football back then. I don't know
what he said on many occasions, because I've talked to him personally about this one. He's like, look, we had so many other things in that game that were problems. Yeah. We can't blame it on that one moment. Even though you could have won it in that one moment, he's like, we had other things happen.
Now, I wanted to throw one of these out there because I think this is the dumbest excuse I've ever heard. If you go back, I think it's like UFC 116, Shane Carwin against Brock Lesnar. Shane Carwin came this close to winning the world title in the first round, and then he was gassed so bad that he got destroyed in the second round, and everyone's like, what do you think you got tired? He goes, no, I wasn't tired. And they're like, wait, okay, but you obviously were tired, and that's how you got choked out. And he goes, no. There just wasn't enough oxygen in the acidosis or whatever was building up in my muscles. And so they're like, uh-huh. So you got tired. And he's like, no. We did this in training, and I was fine. And you're like, uh-huh. So when you left the laboratory or the gym and actually had to do it in real life, and you couldn't because you were exhausted, but he didn't get tired. He, like, to this day was like, no, I didn't get tired. It was the lactic acid that built up in my muscles. And I was like, uh-huh.
I'll tell you who was amazing at making up excuses that didn't make any sense to me. C.J. Wilson. C.J. Wilson was a good pitcher for the Texas Rangers, but man, if he got hit, there was always something that, why can't you just say you didn't make a good pitch and they hit it hard? It happens. It happens to every pitcher. You're a good pitcher. Why can't you just say, I didn't make a good pitch? Not that, that was a little blooper over the shortstop's head. I was like, it was a one hopper off the wall that was an exit velocity of 105. Like, it's okay. It happens. But I just remember C.J. Wilson just, no matter what happened, he was awesome, and it was just luck or bad defense, or I was just like, it's okay, it happens. That's why I kind of really like Mike Minor after losses, even sometimes after wins. He's almost too hard on himself when it comes to that.
By the way, 1053thefan.com, you can follow him on Twitter, at 1053thefan. Our masterpiece video, Kevin, of how long will the Leaning Tower of Dallas last, is currently up and posted right now. So if you want to go check out the video, it's pretty hilarious. Mike sings, so does Kevin. I do not, but the video is very funny. I like this one from the 214. Coach told us a story. His pitcher was pitching horribly. He had a mound visit with him, and he said, what's going on? And the pitcher said the girl behind the home plate didn't have her bottom trunks on, and that was distracting him throughout the game.
Oh, man.
Was it Garrett Cole that was pitching while that one girl was like kept showing her
and
her
it
chest
did
pieces
nothing
off?
Because Garrett Cole is unbreakable, and it did nothing.
He was getting signs.
From the 972, they said against their boyfriend in a video game, they lost and said it was already programmed for him to win. Man, and I know it's not exactly lag, but my video game excuse was always like the controller didn't do what I told it to do. Like, I told the controller to jump or slow down.
The computer cheats.
Yeah, the controller didn't do what I said it was supposed to.
Push the button.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's cross talk with the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.